I'm pulling together a whole bunch of thoughts that we've been playing with all summer that are trying to understand the mind from the, how the scripture shows us how it works. And one of the things that I just want to say is, and this is going to be a real practical takeaway tonight, real practical takeaway. But the setup is just this. Your natural mind is the mind you were born with. It's the mind that hasn't had God talk to it yet. It's the mind where the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. In other words, that natural mind is going to get you in trouble, no matter how good it thinks that it's doing, because it seems right to a man. And so that's what you're born with. After the fall, God checked out of our minds. He comes back to our minds and he shows us or enlightens those minds by grace based on the finished work of Jesus Christ for his people. So if you're one of them, God in time, at some time, hopefully sooner than later, is going to come and he's going to teach you about himself first, and then about you and the world, and he's going to enlighten your natural mind, and it's now going to become a spiritual mind. And that spiritual mind is going to be able to understand or hear the things that are from above, or how we've been laying it out, the wisdom that is from God. Not the natural wisdom, which is earthy wisdom, and which is basically what the Bible calls your flesh or your natural man. And it says that it's demonic, demonic meaning that God's not present, and so it's influenced is by the influencer or the prince of power of this age, and that's the devil. And so we don't think right until God enlightens our minds. And you can be a good guy, good Boy Scout, all that kind of stuff, and not be thinking right. And the end thereof will be the way of death. And so we're learning that about our mind, that God, by his grace, speaks to our mind. He tells us about himself first and then about his things. And so then we have learned that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a life unto my path, and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith is that what I believe, that what I believe. And so what I believe comes from hearing God. And that is, God by his grace has to enlighten my natural mind in order for me to hear him and know what to believe. And then when I believe what I'm supposed to believe, which God revealed to me by his grace, there's a transformation that becomes, that begins to take place. And the Bible says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is literally how I behave, how I think about everything, how I act about everything, comes from this transformation that God has made possible by the grace that he has by speaking to my natural mind. Did that all make sense up front? And we took a long time to unpack all the details of that over the summer. So, I'm going to talk to you about your minds tonight, and I'm going to talk to you about it kind of like I'm your drill sergeant, and I'm telling you what to do. The Bible says to do certain things with your thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible says to capture your thoughts. So you have a foolish thought, and you capture your thought. Or you just have a thought, and you capture your thought. And you make that thought obedient to Christ. That is, you hear a thought coming up in your head, you capture that thought, and you ask yourself, is this the wisdom from God? Or is this the natural thought? Does it need to be discarded? Or does it need to have the wisdom from God applied to it? That'll keep strongholds out of your life. The Bible says capture your thought. The Bible says to set your mind on things that are above. That is, there's something that God wants you to do with your mind, and that is to think about him and his things and his ways. In our text tonight, listen to what Peter says to do to our minds. He says, therefore, and the therefore is based on the fact that God has saved you by his grace and has enlightened your mind and has shown you his way. That is the way. and has shown you Christ and the gospel of your salvation, he says this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, that's one of my favorite phrases because I have no clue what it means. But it sounds very fuerte, and I don't know what that means. And it sounds like something, you know, that you would want to go grab somebody's collar and say, gird up the loins of your mind. And they'd be looking at you going, yes, sir. Right? I mean, I think that that's exactly the intent. God is saying to his people, get a hold of your minds and think right. It's not that God has not revealed to us by his grace what to think, the wisdom that's from above. I would guess that at least two-thirds of the people in this room have been sitting in church services most of their life. Isn't that true? Is that true, everybody? Yeah. So you've heard the word of God. Faith did come to you by hearing, and God, by his grace, has brought you, has enlightened your mind, has shown you Christ, has shown you the gospel of his salvation. But what happens is we allow our minds to think these natural thoughts and these foolish thoughts about everything in the world. About everything. We don't gird up our mind. We don't lay hold of what we think. And I want to give it to you in two different ways. I wrote this on my whiteboard 3 months ago. And I wrote these two phrases on my whiteboard. I wasn't sure what the second phrase meant, not sure that I'm going to be able to communicate it to you, but here's the two phrases I wrote on my whiteboard. Think differently, and then think about what you think about differently. And the first one is just very purposefully thinking godly, in a godly way, through a godly paradigm. Through a gospel-centered lens. That is, when I think about things, when I think about the suffering in the world, I'm not shocked by the suffering in the world because I know that God says that the whole creation groans, waiting for the adoption of the sons of men, for the sons of men to be revealed. And not only that, but we too also groan, waiting for our redemption. And so I'm not shocked by the suffering in the world. I'm not shocked by the fallenness of the world. It is underneath the control of its master, who has blinded the eyes of the people in the world so they can't see the gospel. And so when somebody can't see the gospel and I hear foolishness and all this kind of stuff that I hear on the television, or somebody's, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket, you know, just watch the news. There's nothing about me that's shocked about that because I already know what the situation in the world is. I already know that there's only a people in the world that God has given to the world to bring salt and light to that world, to tell the story about Jesus. He's preserving them and literally preserving the world on their behalf. And I already know that those people are here to share the gospel and the love of the Lord Jesus throughout the world. And I already know that the world's going to reject it for the large part, and that it's going to die and go to hell and be burnt up, and God's going to fix the whole thing at the end of the day, age. I already know all that. So I think about it properly. So I don't sit here and wrestle and get all depressed when I see this going that way or this going that way. I do. I wish it was different. Do I wish I could make an impact? Do I wish I could alleviate the suffering in the world? Of course I could, because God by his grace has loved me and I want to do that. So I think about things differently. But here's the one that's more challenging to the believer. And it's the one, especially if you're, I saw a lot of teenagers here tonight. Fortunately, you haven't lived long enough for this to have beset you much. But if you and if you can take the message tonight and pay attention to it, maybe you won't end up like me, and who has to struggle with this way more because I let my mind run around and do its own thing for way too long. Even after God had saved me and had showed me, I still lived most of my life thinking like a natural man. And God, here's the second thing. It is the things that you are thinking about, think about them differently. And that is, just to be very practical about it, and let's just talk about your family members. You've got a bunch of family members, cousins and uncles and grandma and grandpa and extended family and all that, and you have certain thoughts about each of them, don't you? And my question is, are those thoughts godly thoughts? That is, are you seeing them the way Christ sees them through the lens of the gospel? And if you're not, think about what you think about differently. How about your job? When you show up to your job, are you just waiting for the bell to ring? Or the clock out or log out or whatever? Or do you think about your job in a godly way? That your job is something that God has given you to honor your boss with, to make your boss money and to bless him and to also bless you and your family? And are you making the best of it, or is your mind just always in a drudgery place? Is your mind always thinking about things from a place that is not a spiritual place? Think about the way you deal with this or that or the next thing, and you know, about that waiter who left your glass a little low, a little long. And you're sitting there drumming your fingers. I don't know if she's ever going to come fill up my water. The question is that when we think about things, we've literally patterned our mind to think about things in a foolish, ungodly, unspiritual way. In a way that is a wisdom that's from below. In a way that God says, and if you read that passage again in James 3, he says that the wisdom below always ends up in striving and in fighting and all that kind of stuff. And so if you're frustrated and you're upset about something, here's the hint, here's the sign, that is not wisdom from above. You're not thinking about it properly and from a godly perspective, so think differently. Gird up the loins of your mind and think about things in light of the gospel. Listen to this verse. Go to the Philippians passage. Here's the context of the Philippians passage. The context of the Philippians passage that I'm fixing to read to you is anxiety. It is the suffering of the anxiety. That is, it is the mind that is restless and frustrated and in a panic. And God tells that mind to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that peace, by the way, is in your mind. And we talked about that. That was one of my first lessons in this series, was the peace of mind that God brings. The peace of God, which passes your understanding, what kind of understanding? Natural understanding. That is, the peace of God transcends that, and it guards your heart and your what? It guards your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a spiritual thing. That's a spiritual place. And here's what God says to those people. He says to those people, listen, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are noble and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of good report. So let me just ask you, whether you're CNN or Fox, it really doesn't matter. Good reports or bad reports on there? bad reports. Exactly. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there's anything that's virtuous and anything that's praiseworthy, put your mind on these things. Gird up your mind and see these things that way. And so you know how this is. So many times somebody will come in and say, I tell you what, if that teacher does that one more time to my kid, and then the next one says, I tell you, I've heard it that she does it to several children. And as a matter of fact, we're going to go to the Harper Valley and PTA and have a meeting about her. You know what I mean? And what happens is we walk around spreading bad reports. Now think about the bad reports that we spread. What is the purpose of the bad report? It's just to spread the bad report so that everybody has the bad report. It doesn't ever go to the teacher in love and wonder if maybe that she's having a bad day and needs some encouragement and support. It doesn't ever go and confront perhaps something that she has no clue that's really deeply impacting her children. It doesn't try to do anything that's positive, anything that's pure, anything that's praiseworthy, anything that's any of that. What it does is it thinks bad reports, it accepts bad reports, and it passes on bad reports, right? And God says, don't let your brain think that stuff. Gird up your minds. Think differently. Think true things and noble things and lovely things and just things and things that have virtue and things that are praiseworthy. Think about those things. Set your mind on things that are above. Grasp those thoughts that are foolish and make them obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Gird up your minds. Quit thinking like the world thinks. Quit thinking like the world thinks. Just stop it. Wish I had that Newhart clip. So anyways, go do this if you want to. You younger people, the old people won't get it. But if you younger people, go to Bob Newhart, Stop It on YouTube, and it'll bless you. But listen, here's what I'm telling you. What I'm not talking to you is about some sort of worldly positive mental attitude thing at all. That's not what I'm talking about, because the world doesn't know how to ground their thoughts in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world does not have a holy paradigm with which to look at the world and understanding that comes from God. Remember, the world has a natural mind. But sometimes if you listen to a worldly natural mind, positive mental attitude, guys, they get it better than believers do. They're just not thinking about the things of God. They're just trying to think about good things. But we don't think about good things for their sake. We think about the good things of God for His sake and for His Son's sake. Does that make sense? And what happens is that I promise you this. Some of us have so patterned our mind on thinking garbage and thinking natural and thinking in ungodly ways that we couldn't have a spiritual conversation if you wanted us to. We just don't go there. Okay, so that sounded all rebukey and stuff, and so I recommend, like last week, please go have Baskin Robbins. But anyways, it's healthy and healing and all that kind of stuff. I think, I don't know, and that was probably a natural thought. So whatever on that. Okay, here's my point. My point is, guys, don't you? Isn't it true for your friends and you? Isn't it true we get stuck into the rut of foolish thinking, like all the time? Cody, you can come up. Isn't it true? Isn't it true that the way we see our friends, the way we see what's going on in our life, you know, we just get bogged down in the mire and misery of horrible thinking? One of the things that is a reality of our ministry here at Crosswind is this. Nobody comes to us who's having a good day. Y'all know that. If you're around, and those of you who have volunteered for year after year, Nobody comes to us who's having a good day. That's not why they come through our doors. That's not why they ask for our help. They're having bad days. And let me just say this to you. If we don't have good thoughts to begin to put into their mind about the Lord Jesus, praiseworthy things, things of good report, ways to take them from where they are and put them in a very different place, a calm and loving word, a word of reinforcement, of encouragement, of kindness, of grace, of mercy in the middle of what they're in, then what we're going to do is we're going to be natural people. And natural people say things like, well, you made the bed, you go ahead and sleep in it. And they know they made the bed, and they are sleeping in it. And they came here, and they're broken, and they're ashamed, and they need grace, not somebody to pile on their already burdened problems. They need grace. And our minds have to think right about people, or we won't be gracious to them. We'll be natural-minded to them. We have to think the things of God about that person that just came in the door. We have to see him. See him even though he's fallen, or her even though she's fallen, as a person who was created in the image of God before the fall, and that that integrity is still there. We have to see them as a person who is owed love, support, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that God, by his grace, may, by that teaching and by those good words, bring them to life in his Son. We owe that to him. And so, gird up your minds. Gird up the loins of your minds, better. Think differently, and about what you think about, think differently. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for teaching us about our mind, teaching us how it works, teaching us the fallenness and the foolishness of it, the things that the world calls the wisdom. And you said that you would shame that wisdom by your wisdom, which is from above. We pray, Lord, that we would look to you and listen to you, that our faith truly would come by hearing the word of God, not the word of the world, the word of our flesh, and that we, Lord, would fix our minds on you, fix our mind on your ways, fix our mind on your promises, fix our minds on your truth, so that we can live the way that you wanted your people to live here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.